But I've got Daniel Nalia on the telephone now. Daniel is he's the pastor for Catch the Fire Ministries and also the president of the Rise Up Australia Party. How are you going, Daniel?
Very good, Michelle. It's been a wonderful season, particularly drawing up to Anzac Day. There's been so much happening, and we are very, very happy and excited, yeah.
Absolutely, because I wanted to talk to you. You've just come back from America, I do believe. You were over there with your latest book, The 21st Century Culture War in the West. How was your trip over there, and how were you received, and how was the book received?
I was actually blown away. The reception was absolutely fantastic because I was there only for 10 nights, mm-hmm. but I was invited to 5 different states, and starting with Jimmy Swaggart's ministries in Baton Rouge, getting on the SBN television network.
Wow.
I was then on TBN, CBN, SBN, and one more network. So I was on 5 television networks, and I did about 7 or 8 programs.
Fantastic.
Plus preached and spoke in various meetings, from churches to town halls and community centers.
Yeah.
It was a very action-packed but full-on trip, but it really, the book was very well received, and I think my office personally got hundreds of orders directly online from the States, so it was very good, yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Now, the title, 21st Century Culture War in the West, and you're talking about multiculturalism and the danger of fundamental Islam in the West as well. Now, the book covers lots of things, how Muslims see the West, and about multiculturalism, whether it unites or divides the society. And just bearing that in mind, I'd like to know... What you're coming to Townsville this weekend for Anzac weekend. Now, how does that tie in with Anzacs?
Well, one of the key things, even this morning, I was on a interview, which will be on our YouTube channel. Anzacs basically speaks of the forefathers of our nation and the price they paid to protect us today.
Yeah.
100 years ago, when our nation was only 14 years old, when colonies had come together and declared as a nation, 14 years old, went to war, and we lost 8,000 soldiers, approximately. Many indigenous men also were in the battalions. But 2 years later, we possibly created history. Australia is known as a nation which created history by taking on the Ottoman Turks and fighting through Beersheba with 800 light horsemen.
Right.
And we need that spirit of the light horseman, that tenacity, that fire, that passion, because unconfirmed reports state that it was evident that there was something supernatural happening for the 800 light horsemen to achieve what they achieved in such a short time.
Yeah.
Only 30 soldiers died. Ottoman Turk tank fire, 8,000 troopers were attacking 800 soldiers. But they ultimately just dropped their weapons and cheered our soldiers crossing over their defense lines.
Wow.
And so it's a history-making moment, and I think everyone should be out there celebrating. And if you could get to a dawn service, I would really encourage them to come along on Saturday night. I think it's at the CWC Hall.
Yeah.
We'll be having a meeting where we'll be playing the video clips of the Light Horsemen taking the charge, as well as I'll be speaking on these topics. So
excellent.
It's a very important weekend, because we also then carry the responsibility. How about the generations after us?
Yes.
100 years ago, men and women paid the price to protect us. Would we pay the price to protect our next generations coming up?
Yes.
Or would we succumb our culture and our values in the name of political correctness?
Yeah, well, that's what I was kind of going to ask you. In some ways, I mean, we feel that the wars that we've fought before were they not to allow freedom of speech and freedom of religion? And isn't it great that we have different people from different cultures in a country like Australia? Isn't that the freedom that we were fighting for? Have we gone wrong somewhere along the way?
Yeah, that's the exact freedom we fought for. But what's happened is we have tipped to the extreme extent of now today. Formally, the racism was an issue which needed to be spoken about, particularly on Australian soil.
Right.
But today, it's not an issue really in Australia, because today what I find is racism, it seems to be the reverse psycho racism. If I would be very blunt in saying this, if someone who is Caucasian Anglo-Saxon takes a complaint to the Equal Opportunity Commission today against an immigrant from Asia, Africa, or Middle East, I myself am from Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Their complaints are just thrown out of the window. No action will be taken at all.
Right.
But it only takes a third world country person who comes in here and say, for example, you know, a Christmas tree in the classroom or a nativity scene or a cross been worn or simple complaints like that, and as long as it's an issue for that person, immediately the Equal Opportunity Commission will bend head over heels to support them and come against the very men and women of the country who open their doors for us to come in. So being an immigrant, I say it is, if you come in, and of course now as a leader of Rise of Australia Party, I have a very clear statement. No one asked me to come here. I chose to come here.
Yeah.
It's my duty to assimilate and integrate into Australian way of life and culture. If I think where I'm come from is better than where I come into, then I need to shut up and get out and get back to where I came from.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, and if people say, oh, you're a Christian pastor, you should be more tolerant.
Yeah.
Well, there were times Jesus himself was not quite tolerant when he walked into the temple, in particular when he saw things were not right.
Yes.
He actually took a whip and whipped the daylights out of the people and got them out.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, so there are times you've got to draw the line on the sand and make it clear.
Yeah, and of course...
where you're coming to and integrate, you know.
Exactly, and of course, you've lived under Sharia law yourself, and your first book, Worship Under the Sword, documented some of the terrible persecution that Christians can be under in Islamic countries. So we can't just turn a blind eye to that. We can't just go, oh no, that's okay, and leave, as you say, our grandchildren, our children, and our grandchildren that legacy of Sharia law in Australia. And people can go, oh well, that's not ever going to happen, but it may well.
Well, I was forced to watch three people getting beheaded. I myself in Saudi Arabia was almost beheaded. My wife was almost raped and killed because she was an infidel.
Wow.
And my children were almost taken away to an Islamic orphanage. If not for God being there, I won't be talking to you today.
Amazing.
So I know the consequences of what could happen if you don't wake up.
Exactly.
And people think, oh, it won't happen here, it happens there.
Yeah.
15 years ago, or 17, 18 years ago, when I stepped into Australian soil, I started saying it to the media and the government and the people. I said, wake up, Australia, rise up, Australia, if not, it'll be too late.
Yeah.
And the response I got clearly from government parliamentarians in Australia as well as the media was, oh, mate, you're just fear-mongering, you know, it's never going to come onto our soil, it's happening out there, it'll never happen here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm seated right now in Melbourne, the suburb called Hallam, where my whole base is located. And just in the last few days, five people were arrested plotting to attack Anzac Day services.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And all five of them were from suburbs right around my church and my office premises.
Yeah.
So here I am in Hallam. They were arrested in Hallam, Hampton Park, Narrewarren, and Eumemmering. So it's not a joke. You know, it's a real serious issue. If you don't wake up, they will take us for a ride. And because Australia has not really faced any major issues, we trust people as we trust each other. We trust people who come into the country. But people who have gone through war, for them, survival is lying.
Yeah, yeah.
In a sense, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, Islam, it promotes the lying for the cause of Islam.
Yes.
The cause of Allah. It's called Taqiyah.
Taqiyah, yes.
Very well known, you know. So these are the things we have to be very careful about. Now, does this mean that we oppose Muslim people? No, no. We love all Muslim people.
Yeah.
In my church, we have a food bank where we feed 100 families in the community.
Yeah.
Many Muslim families from Iran and Afghanistan come and collect their food supplies. I love
them. Awesome, yes.
But that does not mean to say I need to embrace their faith, which teaches them to kill us who are infidels.
Yeah.
Likewise, if I draw a parallel, I would disapprove of Nazi ideology, but I love the German people.
Yes.
I'll disapprove of communist philosophy, but I love the Russians and the Chinese.
Yes, yes,
and
I'm with you.
The Christian message is love the sinner, but not the sin.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, excellent. Amen. All right, now, well, you've got my juices flowing, so you're coming to town. I know you're not getting here until Friday, but you're straight into it. You hit the ground running. You've got a meeting at 7 o'clock on Friday night. You've got one at Saturday night at 6:30 and then Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And they're all going to be held at the QCWA Hall, which is 134 Denham Street, right in the heart of the city here. So your meetings, you're going to be expanding on some of what we've been talking about today, or and you're particularly going to be talking about the, as you said, the Anzac people and the But who did you say?
The focus will be pretty very much what I shared, and I'll be expanding on those topics. I'll be also on Sunday night, I think at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in Ingham.
Yes, that's right. 5 and o'clock, Conroy Hall, 39 to 43 Macquarie Street. That's in Ingham, yep.
And I would be bringing my books, and they will be available for sale too.
Awesome. Excellent. Excellent. That's fantastic. Okay, well, it's been a pleasure speaking with you again. I hope your meetings are completely packed out. Now, are these meetings for people, if we've got people listening now, they're not Christians, they've got no spiritual belief, still worth coming along to these meetings and getting a bit of education?
Sure do, because Rise Up Australia Party is a party for all people.
Yes.
And standing for Australia is just not Christians. Everyone should stand for our country, because our country needs everyone's shoulder to stand together, united.
Yeah.
So it's not an issue of Christians or non-Christians. I'm calling on all who can come to come.
Exactly. Amen. Love that. By the way, actually, you're having, you probably don't know, but you're having lunch on Saturday with one of my girlfriends, Kim Vuga, and she's a real fighter for this cause. She's a real...
Yes.
She's awesome. Not a Christian, not a believer, but a real patriot. And she, so many people out there who are not believers are hearing these alarm bells, and they're waking up. And I really think that the Christian community needs to as well.
And I will tell you this, what's amazing is that I've been working with the Reclaim Australia leaders across the country.
Yeah.
They're all committed to protect our Judeo-Christian heritage, because they know that if they don't protect it, what could replace it could be disaster.
Exactly, exactly.
And that will be Islam.
Yeah, exactly, that's it. They're getting the message. All right, I'll let you go, Daniel. I know you're very busy. Hopefully we'll catch up on the weekend. God bless you, and travel safe.
Thank you. It's good to be on the show once again.
All right, thanks, Daniel.